Shri Devahuti said. So there's actually two prayers here. Two prayers by the, I guess we would call it the skinny woman song. Now we have the skinny woman song, okay? My dear husband, O best of the brahmanas. Now, again, we go back because she's the daughter of a princess. Yeah? And earlier we were blessed with a lot of, and just looking at this one dialogue, this one incident, you know, of Swayambhu Manu coming to Kardama, you know, in the forest there. And the broader perspective, of course, is that this is part of the story of Maitreya talking to Vidura. And Vidura is like a grandfather, you know. Uddhava is like his son. He's a grown-up guy, and Vidura is like his father. And so Maitreya is like a hoary old great-grandfather. And he's going to ask him, you know, about, please tell me what you heard when Krishna explained these more confidential things to Uddhava. Krishna was talking to Uddhava about things. And so please, what did he explain? Yeah. What is his position in Dwarka? Yeah. We all know about Mahavishnu. That was in the second canto. And the great creator, the Purusha Shukta confirmed. Yeah. But what about his position in Dwarka? Yeah. So my Vidura went to ask that question. But there were other people there, and he made a little shy. So before he did that, he asked the basic question again about Mahavishnu or Garbhodaksha Vishnu. How does God create this universe? Sarga, you know, how is it maintained by him? How does he do it through different expansions, different manus like that? And really, he should have just asked about Krishna's position in Dwarka. But again, it says he was shy. And actually, he never even asked about that, as far as I know. He never really even asked about that all the way through the fifth canto or something, when he finishes off and satisfied and leaves. Yeah. So you might even say that if we actually understand God as the creator of the universe, oh my Lord, master of the universe, you know, Jagannath, if we actually understand Lord Jagannath, you know, then we don't really even need external instruction anymore. Complete satisfaction will be there. Gopa Kumar was going up to, you know, Goloka, and he got to Vaikuntha, and he would have stayed there forever, you know, kind of trapped a little bit, unless Lord Narayan gave him a little bit of a push, you know, to Narada, to go on like that. You know? So we shouldn't think that, you know, and what is there's no Krishna book in Vaikuntha? There's no ISKCON temple in Vaikuntha, yeah. But they don't know about these things, yeah. But to what degree, in what way, what extent? Yeah. No. So here we have this, you know, the story of the creation, how it's being created. And in the course of that, of course, we're coming to the creation first by Mahavishnu, Sarga, subsequent creation by Brahma, the mental children. And then he creates the Manus. And the Manus are also Manasaputra. And the Manus then actually start producing the gross things at the gross level. Again, nice example. Some lady always wanted to have parties. She's a little girl. She's always dreaming about having parties and inviting people and this and that and things that happen. And with her friends, they're playing their dollhouse and, you know, and the dollhouses and this kind of thing, you know. And then when she grows up, she picks a husband, you know, who's a like-minded guy. And he wants to get some position in society. You know, he wants to be, his wife wants that. And they're thinking, well, maybe we can even become governor or something. Well, let's give it a try, you know. So then, of course, they're thinking, okay, as a governor and everything else, we've got to have a house. We've got to entertain people. We've got to have, you know, this thing and that thing, parties, okay. So then they go to an architect, and the architect talks with them and shows them different pictures. And they look at books, and they talk. He does sketches. He does more sketches. And finally, they begin to settle on the thing and the shape of the house structure. Okay. Then it goes to the civil engineer, maybe the civil engineer. And he starts to put in the more specific functional things, and the stuff you never see, like the foundation. Then it goes to a contractor, you know. Then it goes down to the actual carpenters, plumbers, masons, you know, inspectors. And then the what do you call it, the interior designers, they pick the carpets, they curtains, the furniture, invitations, and finally, on New Year's Eve, we have the first party. Okay, yeah. So we can, it's very nice. Things go from subtle to gross. Yeah. You see, this is where houses come from. Houses come from. Yeah. So we're coming to this point of the Manus. And maybe we're on Manu consciousness. Yeah. Maybe we're on, what level are we on? Different people in the audience might be on different levels like that. You know? Maybe after we're all dead, everybody here will be passed on, and maybe we'll come back again. We'll all come back again in ISKCON. So make a little point here. Everybody should really help the Ministry of Education. Ministry of Education, because we may all take birth in ISKCON again. And if we hadn't got a good school system, we're going to take birth in a place where there's ISKCON doesn't have that facility. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe what level of consciousness are we on? It's different levels. Dhruva, what's his name? Can't remember his name now. He had a million wives and no kids. Anyway, he started doing austerities also, and within a few days, he could see the Gandharvas flying in the sky and everything else. You know? Becomes so light, so subtle that the space around you, you start giving up, you know, focusing on what you're seeing. You start being just absorbed in the acoustical environment. Do you know people like that? They're not so care about what it look like. It looks like they care about what things sound like. You see, they always have very care. The acoustical environment is always very nice. You know, very, very whatever. You know, heavy metal or something. And of course, that's the last gross level. That allows you to create space. In the space, you can accommodate so many other things. You know? So then we go to the subtle levels, and we start encountering different kinds of living beings, you know, who have acoustical bodies, you know, spatial bodies only. You know? And they have their whole society, just like we have our society in comparison to the squirrels and the rabbits. You know? So we're here in this level. And then we get a very, very nice description of how the relationship between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas. And then I guess before this, I don't know, maybe has there been that? I guess not so much before this. It's maybe one of the first times where it's brought out, you know, so nicely, in such detail, you know, the explanation, the relationships were brought out. When Maharaj Pariksit is putting a snake on Samika Rishi shoulders, there's some discussion, different things like that, but here we very, very nice, brings it out, very, very nice and very practical description like that, you know? And a little bit we can see it's actually, you know, think about these things, but it was brought out very nicely that Swayambhuva Manu, even though he's the emperor of the universe, you know, he goes to the ashram of Kardama Muni, and he's respectful. He bows his head down before him. And of course, he's also old enough to be his father, his father-in-law. He's also still bowing down before his son-in-law, young man with a very nice, glistening black beard and, you know, these very beautiful things. And Devahuti's probably thinking, what a nice, nice, beautiful black beard he has. Oh, what a beautiful black beard he has. And he looks so handsome, you know. You know, her heart is throbbing. You know. She peeks out behind her mother. Her mother is, Yeah. So very, very intense personal relationships, even at this level, you know, reflecting the spiritual world. You know. And so she says here, and again, what is the age relationship? We always think the girls, you know, the girls 18 and the boys 21 or something like that. Or, you know, it's kind of, that's the maximum. Usually they're the same age or something. Usually the same age now, I guess. You know, maybe 1 year younger. Almost always. You know? But here again, you know, I guess Sita was married like 12 years old or something. That's, you know, We mentioned this before that, the informally, promises can be made informally and not living together, cohabiting, but promises can be made when the girl's like 12 years old. The guy is, what do you say, 21 years old. Okay. And the girl's 12 years old. My goodness, you're robbing the cradle, robbing the cradle. But then it's very, very, it's just, how could a 12-year-old girl, young girl, 12 years old, you're not a fool, You're already growing up. I mean, you're engaged to some guy who's handsome like anything and who's all this kind of stuff. And it's very easy to respect him like some Greek god or something, Very, very easy. And then relationships, cooking for the first time, doing different ceremonies together, and very much emphasizing that the purpose of this is to, is to take care of your family, your different higher relationships, subtle relationships. Very, you're participating in something which is very, very cosmic, very cosmic. Yeah. I remember we did this show one time at the California Academy of Sciences, and they had a thing next to us about the life cycle going on. And apparently, when a Sioux Indian girl goes out to her wedding, one of the things they say is, walk proudly. You are going to become the mother of a nation. Yeah. So very, very, what's the word? Archetypal things. Our civilization, I mean, practically speaking, is nothing. It's so shallow, this American culture. Here we start to talk about participating in archetypal things on the level of the gods and goddesses and actually having some influence and change. Yeah. So she says, my dear husband, oh, best of the brahmanas. Okay, she's maybe again like, what, so much younger than him. Yeah. And what does she know, compared to him? This is obvious. And the brahmanas, she sees, they know. She knows how her father relates to them in the palace. She knows the respectful relationship. So when she says, oh, my dear husband, oh, best of the brahmanas, this is really, really an elevated compliment, elevated description. I know that you have achieved perfection and are the master of all the infallible and mystic powers. Wow. That's quite a husband, huh? Yeah. I wonder if he had to go out and mow the lawn. Mystic powers, because you are under the protection of Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya. The transcendental nature. But you once made, but, okay, so this is the very point, this is the point that Prabhupada's going to make in the purport, two parts here, is that she knows all about this, transcendental position, everything else, okay, but, okay, here's the thing, one, in our church when I was a child, one Swedish lady was visiting, and she said, she was preaching, she was a religious lady, and she giving one a class or something, and she said, we are all sliding to hell on our butts. And afterwards, they had to explain to her what that meant in English, But anyway, we are sliding to hell on our butts. So, but you once made a promise that our bodily union should now fulfill, since children are a great, great quality for a chaste woman who has a glorious husband. Okay. What kind of woman? Chaste woman who has a glorious husband. So we're getting all kinds of things together here. The problem with these translations is that they are sutras. Anybody know the definition of a sutra?
I do.
Okay, what is it? Yeah. A sutra, to qualify as a sutra, a phrase must include the maximum amount of information in the minimum number of words and be grammatically correct. Of course, that is a sutra. Maximum amount of information, the minimum number of words, and be grammatically perfect. So this is such a, this is all one, this is two sentences. My dear husband, O best of the brahmanas, I know that you have achieved perfection and are the master of infallible mystic powers because you are under the protection of Yoga Maya. That's how you get them, not by grabbing them, but by taking shelter of a higher authority, the transcendental nature. But you once made a promise that our bodily union should now fulfill, since children are a great quality for a chaste woman who has a glorious husband. Okay, purport, I should have qualified. Parampara. Devahuti expressed her happiness by uttering the word bata. Bata. So I guess all the ladies in our class now can go around their grihastha ashram and with their husbands and say bata. Devahuti expressed her happiness by uttering the word bata. It's also the name for a brand of shoes. It's an Indian shoe store too, right? For she knew that her husband was in highly elevated consciousness, transcendental, in a highly elevated elevated transcendental position, and was under the shelter of Yoga Maya. Wow. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, those who are great souls, Mahatmas, are not under the control of the material nature. And if you got our PowerPoint here, you can see our yogi. On this yogi guy, he's got his, he's resting on, what is he? He's resting on one hand and one leg, the other leg is behind his back, and he's smiling at us. Maybe a snake on his shoulder there. Okay, that's a real yogi. Transcendental to household furniture. Mahatmanastu mamparta daivim prakritim ashritaha bhajanti ananya manaso nyatva bhutadim avyayam. Okay, close your eyes and let's all chant it together. Mahatmanastu mamparta daivim prakritim ashritaha bhajanti ananya manaso nyatva bhutadim avyayam. But the Mahatmas, O Partha, I've taken shelter of the divine nature. They worship me with undeviating mind because they know that I am the source of all living entities and unlimited. Yeah, word by word. Prabhupada quotes this twice in the Upadeshamrita. Yeah, first instructions for neophyte devotees. Such a nice Vaishnava verse book, Upadeshamrita. Yeah. In my opinion, if you memorize all the verses in Upadeshamrita, you should be able to pass the Bhakti Shastri. And all the linked verses, because some are just paraphrased. If you know all those, you should be able to pass Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, and Bhakti Sarvabhauma with like, 65%. You should be able to get a passing score. It's a sufficient Vaishnava verse book. If you know all the verses that are in there, and also the ones that are cited or indicated. Says the Mahatmas, they're transcendental. Yeah, because they know jnana. And how do you know? By austerity, by reading, study of the Vedas, by hearing from proper authority, like that, by mercy of God. Yeah, not just by jnana, by hearing and jnana and what else we got? Karma. Yeah, you've also got to engage in jnana and then also bhakti. And then you can know, that Krishna is the cause of all causes. I mean, he's inexhaustible. He'll never fail. And everybody is coming from him, like that and so on. So then he if we see that, he's not hidden from us anymore. If death personified comes, we see Krishna coming, okay, to embrace us, to kidnap us, like that. Yeah. The Supreme Lord has two energies. Aha! Two energies, material and spiritual. Material and spiritual. Was it Bhagavad Gita chapter 7? Yeah, Krishna has two energies, material and spiritual. The living entities are marginal energy. So where are they? If there's only two, where does the living entity belong? He belongs to the interior potency. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Oh, it was Buck. Thank you, Buck. Yeah. Buck White and Tom Brown are also here in the class. So Buck White informed us, yes, the marginal energy belongs to the internal potency. As marginal energy, A person may be under the control of the material energy or the spiritual energy, which means we can take shelter of our big sister, Radha, or we can take shelter of our big sister, Durga. And they both inspire us in different ways like that, you know. And it's our choice, whether we want to be under the control of our mother or the nanny. And of course, the nanny is subservient to the mother. Yeah. Yeah. She only can carry out the rules and regulations. Okay, so Krishna has two energies, and we have to be under the control of one of them. Yeah. Kardama Muni was a great soul, Mahatma, and therefore he was under the spiritual energy, which means that he was directly connected with the Supreme Lord. Now we can imagine, for example, some party in heaven, and Kardama and Devahuti show up, and Kashyapa and Diti show up. So Kardama and Kashyapa, what? They're both young guys, handsome, good-looking, black beards, and Diti is, she's way up there, her parents. So her father is, who's the father of Diti? Who knows? Who knows? Bardo? Well, who's that? Daksha. Okay, yeah. Daksha. Diti. Yeah. And Devahuti is the son, daughter of Manu. Okay, so they're both Prajapatis. So the ladies are on social status there. But, you know, how's Kardama looking at Kashyapa? Maybe kind of looking at him a little bit of a, you know, kind of a little bit of a chiding the guy, you know, for, hey, this, you produce your Ranyakshi, your Ranyakasi Pru fellow, you know, when are you gonna become a Vaishnava? You know, your philosophy there is a little bit deficient. You were carried away by your wife's, you know, passion, you know, different level. But Kardama is internal potency, you know, fellow, yeah. Which means that he was directly connected with the Supreme Lord. The symptom of this is Krishna. The symptom of this Krishna consciousness, or the symptom of this is Krishna consciousness, constant engagement in devotional service. Yeah. So they're probably giving a def. Somebody asks you, what is Krishna consciousness? Yeah. I wonder how many definitions Prabhupada gives. But this is one: Krishna Bhavanamrita. Yeah. Constant engagement in devotional service. Constant engagement in devotional service. You know? Well, what is there after that? Is there something more than that? You know? More than that? Well, there's intense constant engagement. This is mentioned in Upadeshamrita, text number 8. Intense constant engagement. Because somebody may be engaged sometime in devotional service. You may be engaged in the rituals. You may be serving a transcendental guru who said, do this, do that, but not all the time. You know, sometime you're engaging in this and that gratification or this and that thing, but you become constantly engaged. And this is second initiation, Brahman, you know, actually initiated, because now you have to serve the deity. And the deity requires 24-hour service, you know, or at least like 18 hours of external service, which is going to lead to 6 hours of thinking about the service. Yeah. So the symptom of this Krishna consciousness is constant engagement in the devotional service. Sometimes Sri Prabhupada talks about this. He talks about Shukracharya as being a spiritual master. Yeah. But what does that mean? It means he knows Brahman. Yeah. He knows the absolute truth. He knows that Vishnu is spiritual, you know, like that. But something beyond that, yeah. Maybe confused by the mystical powers of Vishnu and of the demigods in a very subtle level. You know? Yeah, so a lot of different things to go through on different levels like that. What level are we on? How much progress have we made? You know? Are we on the level of the devatas? Are we on the level of a Kardama? You know? Is Kardama a Paramatma body, or is he just a very, very, very elevated Brahma body? He's constantly engaged in devotional service, but now it has to intensify to the point where there's form. Then it has to become broad, uninterrupted, intense, all-inclusive devotional service. Then we can realize our eternal relationship with Krishna, yeah? Our Swarup. Okay. This was known to Devahuti, my goodness. Yet she was anxious, yet, here's the whole point, yet she was anxious to have a son by bodily union with the sage. She reminded her husband of his promise to her parents. I will remain only until the time of Devahuti's pregnancy. Pregnancy. She reminded him that for a chaste woman to have a child by a great personality is most glorious. She wanted to be pregnant. And she prayed. And she prayed for that. She wanted to be pregnant. And she prayed for that. Okay. So what is the situation here? Is Devahuti a little bit attached? Yeah. She wants to achieve Krishna consciousness. But before that, you know, as the story goes on, it seems like that. She's a little bit attached, and she knows, you know, what she should be doing in terms of Krishna consciousness, but she still has some attachments. Of course, Kardama also has some attachments. Yeah? He was attached to the point of getting her pregnant. That would be satisfy him. Okay, yeah? Getting somebody pregnant. Okay, I got her pregnant. Oh, great guy. One devotee, Bahulaspa, I think he had twins. And we went to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, oh, very potent man. I guess that would do a lot for your ego if Prabhupada told you that. Yes, told you you're a potent fellow, very potent fellow. Yeah. Yes, okay. So this is the whole story, you know. But it's, what can we say, you know, girl? But at one time, it was all this thing about, what's his name? I forgot his name now. Quickly I forget. Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, there was all this controversy about, you know, our supreme personality of Kshatriyahood, you know, the emperor of the world. And here he was supposedly consorting with a low-class clerical girl. Was her name Monica something or something like that, you know? And then finally, I pretty much basically pointed out he was having this weird relationship with her sexually. Yeah. So there's this one story that in Boston, they asked 50 women in Boston if they would have sex with the President of the United States, with Bill Clinton. And out of the 50, 15 said, never again. So on. So there's so much prestige involved in these things. If you're running around, you're pregnant, and you're getting this attention, everything else, but everybody knows, oh, my goodness, you know, she's pregnant with God, Mother Mary. Yes. So I can see if I was in the female body and I was going to be Mother Mary, if God came to me and said, okay, you want to be the son of Mother of Jesus Christ? And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm into it, yeah. You become pretty famous in history after that. The Bhagavatam is from different perspectives. You know, Bhagavatam is a perspective from Kshatriyas. You know, GBC, temple president, Aribo, you know, Vaishyas, women, men. And so everybody, we all cooperate together and have these classes together. Maybe we can get some kind of handle on the Srimad Bhagavatam here. Maybe we can get a hold of Krishna's lotus feet. Now we're studying Krishna's legs. I'm not sure if his left leg or his right leg. 3 and 4 are his left and right leg. So I guess 3 were probably on the right leg, because the right leg goes first. Okay, now we're studying Krishna's right leg. And Devahuti and Kardama Muni, this is Krishna's right leg. Wow, already starting to get pretty intense. So she wanted to be pregnant, but not just pregnant. She wanted to be pregnant with a guy who was a master of all mystic powers, who achieved all perfection, and was the greatest of all the Brahmins. Okay. So you're going to get some kind of what, you know, something from that. You know, what does she want? She probably didn't want, you know, ham and eggs or, you know, some like that. Become, you know, beauty queen for Waco, Texas or something. But what does she want? You know, she wanted very subtle things. And later on, she'll lament when her husband is going away. I guess it's this chapter. She'll lament, scratching the ground with her toes, you know, holding back her tears, you know. You promised to give me fearlessness. I was such a little fool. I married you. I was looking around, and I figured out that the best guys were in ISKCON. I figured that out. You know, other things, too. I knew that, okay, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Hey, he's. And I was thinking about this the other day. You know, why did I join ISKCON? Some Christian was to ask me, and I realized that I finally, in many ways, I joined ISKCON because it was the greatest Christian church I could find. I finally settled in ISKCON. I never found a better Christian church or a better Christian preacher than A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. That's it. If you want to be a Christian, this is where you do it. So somebody may come to with sincere religious activity, and also simultaneously they realize they're thinking those desires are there. They're controlling them. Okay, and so then they get married, you know, and they do their job. They're a good wife. They take care of the situation. They help their husband in sankirtan, preaching, doing all these austerities and stuff. But you know, well, who can who has better clothes than devotee girls? Wow. I know one of my two Gaurav disciples, my younger nephew there, and they went to India, you know, to preach on behalf of Maharaj. And in the beginning, she was a little bit depressed. She was worried if she was going to make it or not. But they went out for a walk, and then they discovered sari stores, and that changed the whole perspective on the thing. He said after that, she was like much more positive about the situation, like that. Because there you are, my goodness, you know, I've died and gone to heaven. You know, you just walk in, there's unlimited kinds of colors and textures, and these shopkeepers know how to show this stuff, you know, and so on. So it was what's so wonderful. You can dress in such a beautiful fashion, such a sophisticated, elegant, you know, demure fashion, the jewelry, the culture, you know, the architecture, unbelievable. And society, you're not surrounded by gross girls, you know. You know that none of the women you associate with smoke or drink, and their husbands are glorious people, you know. So, and also then the festivals, the food, you know, the Janmashtami, the missionary activities, you know. So Devahuti was really just absorbed in all these things, you know, every single way, you know. Talk about a house like that, you know. So they imagine what it is. She wanted to go. They want, you know, they got married. Okay, now he first off he helped her. He got her. He gave her a pass. She'll say, "You got to do something for my body." He said, "Okay, here I've already taken care of it. I've got membership for us in a 24-hour, you know, gymnasium, which has associated with a juice bar." You know, and all this kind of stuff, and just go over there whenever you want to. They have sauna. We're gonna go to a health spa in the Bahamas, you know, and we can spend a couple months there and just drink fresh fruit juices and swim on the beach and play with our friends and have what do you call it, aromatherapy and gym therapy and having beautiful girls massaging your body and pinching you and whatever it takes, you know. Oh yes, okay. So first off, you arrange that. And after that, they were, you know, she asked, well, you know, but we need some place to live. You see, these two prayers, and she asks for her bodily luster, health, well-being, and she asks for a house. So everybody, you know, when we're talking to everybody else, if you got these two things, these are the two things that are foremost in the lady's mind, you know. What will I look like, and what will my house be like? If you got those, so Kardama, you know, they were in the Bahamas, and Kardama said, "Look over at the airport, Devahuti. The planes coming in and out, Lear jets." And she said, "Well, yes, sir." She said, "What do you see over there?" And she, "Oh, I see a 747." She said, "He says that's our 747, Devahuti." Oh my God! Like that. The president has two of these things, not just one, two 747s. Actually, I don't know if there's no movie on YouTube. Maybe there's a movie on YouTube. You can look it up there. The descriptions are that, you know, you can imagine how big those things aren't small inside. So if you go, if it's no rampway, it's like a two-story or three-story, I think almost three stories to get up in those things. You climb up the stairway, it's just right away, you're going to heaven. The President of the United States receives you, you know, receives you. And you go in, and there's a beautiful mahogany, you know, office with beautiful desk, which I guess the desk is, you know, glued to the floor, and you know, best drinks. What do you drink like that? You know? And second, there's an entire room, a press room for the press people. Maybe like, you know, five reporters are allowed to come along, and they have bunks. Maybe three, I don't know, things like that, bunk beds, and they have a whole room, a telecommunication room like that, and so on. And when the president is flying in that thing, you know he's got to have really extended defense. I don't know if they have a couple fighter planes just kind of cruising right along behind him, but definitely it has some sophisticated electronic existence like that, stealth devices and everything else, you know. So this is what she showed her. This is Devahuti. This is our motorhome. Yeah. Let's go. Okay, you want to fly a little bit? Oh, yes, Prabhu. Okay, sit down. Take the controls. Yeah. How do I look in my headphones? You look really cute. Oh, okay. So they were having a good time. And she wanted to be pregnant. So it seems like she had some attachment. But who could blame her? She prayed for that. The word stri means expansion by bodily union of the husband and wife, wife, by the bodily union of the husband and wife. Their qualities are expanded. Children born of good parents are expansions of the parents' personal qualifications. Wow, look what we got. Kardama and Devahuti were spiritually enlightened. Yeah, maybe to Brahman at least, or Paramatma. Therefore, she desired from the beginning that first she be pregnant, and then she be empowered with the achievement of God's grace and love of God. Very interesting. She did not want Krishna Prema. No? She wanted first to be pregnant. For a woman, it is a great ambition to have a son of the same quality as a highly qualified husband. There's these studies that guys think that they pick their wife. Forget it. Yeah. I forgot what it is. Something like 70% of the cases, the girl had decided, this is the guy I want, before she took after him. And, of course, what is it? It's tremendous percentage of the thing is you have to make him think that he's after you. Yes, yes, we know these things. Yeah. You have to make him think that he's chasing you, right? If he thinks that you're chasing him, forget it. You're not going to get him. Okay, so she wanted a highly qualified husband, yeah, and have a child as qualified. Since she had the opportunity to have Kardama Muni as her husband, she also desired to have a child by bodily union. So did she want gross gratification? My kid's going to grow up and he's going to conquer the world, you know, yeah, and we're going to have, you know, a lot of money. Yeah, okay, a big house. Yeah. No, did she want prestige, fame, respect? Oh, she's the mother of so-and-so. Yeah, maybe. Or was it the last thing? She wanted to be everybody's best friend. Even Dipi. You know, Dipi, when she knew she was pregnant with these two monsters, she held them back. You know, she was probably with some austerity. She refused to go into labor, you know, and let these kids come out. So she did something good for the world. So Devahuti, maybe the same thing to her. Her attachment is that I'm the supreme friend. Bhoktaram yagatapasyam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvadehinam. Yeah. She was attracted by that, like Bharata. And how many times is that the fall down in the Bhagavatam? How many times is the fall down the last one? Not that I'm the proprietor, not that I'm the controller, but that I am, not that I'm the enjoyer, you know, but that I'm actually everybody's best friend. Like that. So here she was maybe thinking like that. That was her problem, her attachment, her subtle attachment. She wanted to do something good for the universe. In many ways, different ways to look at this, you know, and so on. But that's basically this purport. And the next verse we'll then talk about, it goes on with her explanation. You know, this two nice verses, you know, stating her position. So that's our thoughts. Anybody have any comments then? Questions, complaints?
Just a second, Maharaj. All right.
A question crossed my mind. Maybe we even write an explanation of it, but I don't recall. And that is, it sounds odd that Kardama Muni would agree only to stay with his wife until she was pregnant and then leave. You know, yad yad achara tishre satatat evetarojanaha. Whatever great men do, common men follow, and whatever standards they set by their exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Seems like not setting a good example, that normally the husband would stay and mentor the child. And even when he said that, it wasn't for certain that he would have a son. So anyway, what are your thoughts? Or was that mentioned at all? And I also think that was in the presence of Svayambhuva Manu, and I'm surprised he would have gone for it.
Yeah, now that you bring it up, it is quite astonishing, because Prabhupada says that, well, he says, right, that father and mother's duty for their children continues until they are married. And probably so many times, he said, as soon as some bright young fellow is there to take charge of household affairs, he leaves. I think it's pretty much just like, pretty much guaranteed we're going to have get sons out of this somehow or other. You know, that's kind of expected at this time, but it didn't work out that way because she was more agitating. But also the point was that he took sannyas somehow or other by mystical potencies when Kapila was already grown up, you understand, right? Prabhu said that as soon as he saw there's some bright young fellow to take care of his mother, and later on we'll mention that Kapila was grown up. I think even the girls, how fast did the girls grow up? It was really quick, you know, within like 4 hours or something, 5 hours. Huh? It was pretty quick they grew up. Yeah, you know? And also Kapila was grown up and stuff, and he left her in his care like that and so on. Yeah, the celestial level, things happen just like they happen in dreams. Yeah. Woo!
Another point that stuck with me, you were talking about how America doesn't have any culture. And that's so true. The American culture, in terms of what they gave the world, is really nothing other than like fast food joints, McDonald's on every corner. And I guess the only positive thing I can think of is...
You've given the world James Bond.
We gave the one thing that came of America culturally is music, jazz, the jazz form, and I don't know how much of that was really imported from Africa with the blacks and the blues, which evolved into jazz and into rock and roll as well. That all came from America. Other than that, slaughtering Indians and serving hamburgers is about America's had no culture at all, really.
I think in some ways, again, it's the only money in the world, as far as I know, you know, which has the name of God on its money. It'd be a very interesting study. Look at that. You know, money talks. Okay, you look and see what's on the bills. And I travel in, of course, different countries, South America. In Argentina, the biggest bill has this general. He's totally known, there's no doubt about it. He was one of the biggest genocide people in the history of the world. He just killed, slaughtered indigenous people down there. He's on the biggest bill, the biggest bill. You go to Peru, they have poets, nuns. They want none. Maybe one of the only country with lady on the money, like that and so on. So America, I mentioned that in some ways it seems like We gave a kind of like simple honesty in some ways. Not even a lot of other qualities mixed with it. But it's something maybe the kid kind of gave, and a kind of simple religiosity, which every country has something to give, I would say, without a doubt. Generally, the thing was, when you conquered a country, after that you exploited it in a gross fashion. You were the conqueror, they were under your thumbs. That's in Europe, in European history, that was it, you know. But that was the thing, that America never claimed dominion. We didn't make Japan a part of the United States Empire. I was, as far as I can see, there was, if we'd done it, there was nobody who could have stopped us at that point. Maybe Russia would have complained or something. That's a good power. But if we had said, no, we conquered these people, and now for the welfare of everybody, we're taking charge of Japan. The Marianas Islands, Northern Marianas Islands, I forgot what it's called, It's an unincorporated something. It's a part of the United States. And also the southern part, I'm born there, southern part, Guam is a separate thing. But they're both actually a part of the United States. Unincorporated something, they're called. But those are part of it, you know, because they're the same thing with Japan. So one thing we didn't, and even Germany is the whole thing about, after the war, there would have been unbelievable, massive famine, beyond belief. There was nothing going on. Winter came stronger than anything. One very nice movie about what happened afterwards. And it would have been, you know, unbelievable. And then the Russians then broke everything off with the setting up, you know, with Berlin. They broke Berlin down. And so the U.S. was airlifting. I think it was every 90 seconds or something. Yeah, whatever it was, an airplane landed with goods continuously. And then they broke the Russian, you know, blockade that way and stuff. So it's interesting, you know, the qualities of different places and what we've offered. But here, my goodness, such a elevated culture the Bhagavatam is offering in terms of godly consciousness. In China and Japan, you know, Asia, yeah, maybe more. I mean, sorry, India, you know, yeah, more elevated qualities. You know, Israel, you know. Like I said, the quality of the music.
One positive thing is the miracles was founded on freedom of religion and freedom of speech, which, you know, worked really well for us. If you know, perhaps if religion was somehow controlled, limited, Prabhupada wouldn't have chose to come to America. And this is where he ignited this incredible explosion of Lord Chaitanya's, you know, sublime lila. It just exploded in America because of the freedoms, the freedoms that our country's based on.
They couldn't do Harinam Sankirtan in England, right, when they went there, no? It was illegal to go out and to chant like that. They got arrested, you know, for doing it in England. Yeah. Or to speak of other places. Wow. Yeah, the history. I'm reading like historically of England, World War II, and before World War One, about that time after World War One, and such. Americans, we can't imagine this. There was so much secular consciousness, ethnic consciousness, racial consciousness, so much war. War was just a regular part of the existence of people like that. Yeah. Civil wars. Yeah. Oof. Poverty. Union, socialism, communism, Krishna. So, I guess that's about it. I want to maybe thank everybody. These classes are very, very nice for us. We're still working our Sankirtan here on this program in South America with the National Library. They've changed the directors three times on us. So it's really gotten, they've all been in favor, but it's in terms of getting something actually signed for 2018. Is kind of held up. And so we're working on that, and hopefully it'll come off still, and that should be a global event. Everybody come to Peru. Art and the sacred. Maybe have it different places like that. Art and the sacred. And we're also working on a symposium in Seattle, and that'll be the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th of June. It'll be broadcast, and it'll be education with ISKCON in North America, actually United States, gringos, education. Educación con los gringos.
Boy, yeah.
So that'll be going on. Everybody can participate. It'll be online. We'll try and send the information out. And there'll be a session on early education.
I went to
a session on then a higher education, university education, everything else. A session on Varnashram Dharma education, a session on Shastric education, a session on education in the Western Hemisphere, when we'll have a bilingual program going on, and also then building a global educational system. And there's one more, which I forgot what it is. We have workshops in the afternoon. Oh, yeah, then finally, my plan is Thursday's reception. Hello, this is where we're going to sleep. This is where we are, orientation. And then Friday and Saturday morning, you have class-type program, people talking and interaction with the audience, maybe like presentations. In the afternoons, you do workshops. It keeps you awake after the lunch. In the evening, you just sit there and you get entertained. People just do entertainment for you. So I wanted to do, it's very appropriate, I was thinking of this, I wanted to do The Taming of the Shrew with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton in the evening, show that movie, and talk about it, because Prabhupada's talking about, you know, definitely some references that Prabhupada talking about how we can use Shakespeare, maybe even should use Shakespeare in our preaching. And it's a very good tool, a very good instrument. And, of course, Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor, they were, everybody says they were born to play these roles. So finally, I ordered the movie and got it yesterday, and I watched it about 2 hours. And it's, I recommend it. I recommend it to any Krishna conscious devotee. And you can invite, what do you have a movie night? Maybe you show it over 2 hours, 120 minutes. You show 40 minutes over 3 nights, every Friday for 3 nights. Invite people. And if they come the first time, of course, they're addicted. They gotta come after that. And you serve free popcorn, but you put a lot of salt in it, and you charge $1.50 for the lemonade. So you can subtle ways to get your money back, you know. And have discussions of the content of Grihastha Ashram. And it does bring out very, very good, you know, Shakespeare brings out very, very good relationships of marriage. And the final speeches are very nice, you know. They're very beautiful English. It's unbelievable, the ways they're talking. And it's so funny, also so funny. And it's the classical period. And the speeches of Shakespeare, Prabhupada said, if you want to understand a word power, read Shakespeare. And you can see his ideas were so intense, you know. And then finally, where she's talking about the relationship between husband and wife, it's, you know, so touching, you know, so touching, everything else like that and so on. So anyway, this is our ideas about, and we had very good success with this, practical success. We did Hamlet and Arjuna. We have a PowerPoint show in Spanish. And we've done it so many times, we were getting sick of it, you know. And afterwards, people would buy Bhagavad Gita's like anything, you know? Like anything, you know. Hamlet and Arjuna. So it was a very nice preaching area if somebody is inclined along that way. And, of course, it's going to satisfy your desires. If you want to see these stories and you want to, next lifetime, you want to be Romeo and Juliet. One last thing, Romeo and Juliet. Never was there a tale of such woe as that of Juliet and Romeo. Okay. When I was in high school, yeah, I went with my friend to watch it at a matinee, Richard Weigel. And it was, you know, the theater was clearing out. We were going into the second thing. And these two girls or something had hidden themselves, you know, below the seats. So when they looked in, there was nobody there. And so they watched it. They seemed like, I think it's 5 times they'd seen this movie. And they were watching the whole thing so they could just cry their eyes out and everything else like that. So on, you know. Okay, Romeo and Juliet. We'll leave you with that classic. Only $13 at Walmart with shipping. The story of the taming of the shrew. How every man can conquer his wife. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So thank you, Maharaj.
Okay.
Very nice class.
All right, there's nothing else, then. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Ram, you can announce we have a new speaker tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Yes, of course. What can you say? I forgot his name.
Bhrigupati.
Bhrigupati, okay. So Bhrigupati Prabhu is going to give class tomorrow. He's agreed. So that'll be nice.
He's a senior Prabhupada disciple. Gives regularly, one of the regular speakers at LA. He gave a class. He spoke in Mayapur this year. And he's a wonderful devotee. And we're fortunate to have him. If we sort of schmooze him a little bit, we're hoping we can get him to give classes on a regular basis. But we'll see how it goes tomorrow. So okay. Please, Prabhu's, ask questions, make comments at the end of this class. That really enlivens the speaker.
Okay. Thank you, Narayan Prabhu. Sorry. By the way, we owe that to Narayan Prabhu. Just rearrange for it. All right. Thank you very much, Prabhu. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bol.